This show is part of the Pod Tyrant Network. For more podcasts, interviews, and content, visit podtyrant.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man who just made his way back from Aberdeen with a big smile on his face, Adam Farmer.
Smile. Just keep smiling. Just smile. Smile. Everyone's smiling, right? It's all good. Everyone's smiling, right?
You don't even know if you have a smile, right? Because it's like that thing on the back.
Yeah, it's definitely I mean, as Bill said, you have to be careful because as you walk by people, they'll know how you really feel, right?
Right. Yeah, one of the more interesting concepts in Doctor Who that we will be talking about. Literally have not talked about this episode to each other until we're recording right now. So I have no idea what you think about it. You have no idea what I think about it. And I'm actually really excited to kind of see where we fall. I think I might know, but...
I'm curious as well. I've seen, just from looking around, just following different threads on the internets, I've seen a couple different thoughts, a couple different strands. So it seems like there's a pretty good spread when it comes to perspective or viewpoints on this episode. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see where you fall on the spectrum compared to where I myself fall.
When we were doing all the like preview stuff as we were looking at the season and we saw there's going to be an episode about emoji robots, that was one of the ones that kind of red flagged for me, remember?
Yeah, totally.
So now we will see how it did. But before we get into that stuff, first of all, I want to apologize to any of our listeners because I'm recovering from a cold. So my voice is a little, you know, right now, but we're going to do this anyways. The show must go on.
We have to, right? Because if we fall too far behind, this won't be a review show anymore.
Right. We have to get the episode out before the next episode airs. That's pretty much our goal. So
you're trucking through it. Right. Mad props to you, sir.
But so there's been a little bit of news that has come out. I mean, we just did this a week ago, so there hasn't been a ton of time for new news. And we talked about this a little bit in our spoilers section. So we'll say again, spoilers for anyone that's wanting to stay spoiler free. But this rumor seems to be kind of getting confirmed.
If you're looking to stay spoiler free at this point in time, it's gonna be hard to avoid anything
for this particular item, right?
Yeah, this is showing up everywhere at this point in time.
Right.
Everywhere.
Yeah, so we had talked about the possibility of there being an episode featuring the First Doctor, played by David Bradley, who had played him previously in the in kind of that little mini movie they did that was actually done by Gatiss. Did you know that?
We're not even going to mention that. He can't have anything good to his name at this point outside of Sherlock.
Well, we were saying kind of we've been giving Gatiss a hard time, but that was a pretty cool little movie. So I'll give him props for that.
Okay.
Adventures in Space and Time, right? That's what it was called.
He's broken even by this point.
Yeah. So David Bradley, who played the First Doctor in that special, there's been a rumor that he is going to come back and actually play the Doctor for reals in the show, which I would be all about. I think that would be a cool way to bring the First Doctor back and have an actor that has previously portrayed him. I think that would be a great tribute to the First Doctor, and I think it'd just be a cool way to get one of the classic Doctors into the modern series. This is something we haven't seen before.
Yeah, and as this rumor is spun, more and more with each passing day, which although there hasn't been any huge news over the past week since our last episode, the rumor mill is just churning through things, whether we're talking about the future of the Doctor and who the Doctor is going to be. There's rumors everywhere about that, or this rumor in particular, where it's going to be. As the rumor mill is churning, different fans and different articles and different blog posts, and rightfully so, are recognizing different threads that seem to be coming together to make this rumor in particular with David Bradley seem really unavoidable at this point. Like, it has to happen if you look at the different set pieces that are falling in place.
Yeah, now it's just a matter of, like, when and how, right?
Yeah,
I think they're going to save it probably for, you know, the end of the season, toward the end of the season, if it's not the finale, Christmas special, whatever is kind of Capaldi's end, I think is where they're going to put this in.
Right, and it's...
What has Bradley said? Because we haven't really talked about he. You know, there was a rumor that he was going to do it, but now he has said something that is kind of confirming it. So what exactly did he say?
Yeah. So whether you want to consider this a confirmation or not, it's essentially someone asking him point blank, is this going to happen? And as opposed to saying yes or saying no or denying it wholeheartedly, he says, "Who knows? You didn't hear it from me." So what that seems to, or what people are taking that to mean, is he's been told he's not allowed to say anything. And so he can't say yes, but he also doesn't want to say no. So by saying, you didn't hear it from me, fans are taking that to mean he's essentially confirmed it.
Okay.
So there is still the possibility that it doesn't come, and he's just playing very well into it. But when you take a look at the Cybermen that we're going to have showing up, and you take, they play directly into the First Doctor. You have Susan on the desk, which, again, a callback to the First Doctor. And then you put kind of Moffat's wish, or not Moffat, Capaldi's wish list into play as to what he could possibly want, being such a fan of Classic Who. It just seems like one of those things that, it's inevitable at this point, right? We're heading full steam ahead, and it just makes the most sense that this could happen.
There was actually something in the episode Smile that we will be talking about that kind of, to me, I thought was a very direct reference to the First Doctor's time that I will not talk about now. I'll save it for our episode review. You picked up on the same thing I picked up on.
Honestly, I'm not entirely sure just yet. But one thing that might be interesting to keep an eye on as we move forward, and maybe for listeners as well, keep an eye on this and toss any and every reference to the First Doctor on our Facebook page or Twitter or what have you. But so far, I mean, it seems to be a theme with each and every episode. There's another sign pointing back to Hartnell. There were several in the first episode. It sounds like you have spotted at least one very blatant one in Smile. So I don't know. It will be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah. He's in the vault, right? He's hiding in the vault. That's what,
there's theories, right? There's you have to wonder what's in that vault. And I, for one, am loving that we have a mystery that we can all theorize and toss suggestions out for, especially with the bits and pieces that we already know. I mean, we know Cybermen are showing up, so maybe the Cybermen are in the vault. We know John Sim is showing up. Maybe John Sim is in the vault. Like, mm-hmm. We have all of these different things that we know they're going to come into play at some point, and yet the Doctor has this secret vault that he's supposed to be guarding, not let anything out or anything in. It's just rife with theory and fun at this point.
Yep, a lot of mystery, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of these things kind of be revealed as the season goes on. So so there was something else that came up in the news that I think is going to be part of the next episode. Is it the next episode of Doctor Who that's coming out where they're doing this whole immersive version?
Episode 4.
Episode 4,
not this next episode, not Thin Ice, but the one following.
Okay, so they're doing this kind of immersive experience that I don't think is going to be available to us as US viewers, but it's at least worth mentioning.
Yeah, it's going to be through BBC's iPlayer. So not that we condone this at all, but unless you have some way of accessing BBC's iPlayer as a US citizen, it doesn't sound like it's going to be coming to us. But this idea of an immersive experience while watching Doctor Who, the pumping in of 3D audio. So if you watch the episode with headsets, with a headset on, with headphones on, you will have a more intense experience. And to be honest, Aaron, I'm not a fan of this.
Not a fan. Not a fan that you can't do it, or.
I'm kind of glad that we don't have access to this because I would feel compelled that I need to watch it because, I mean, as a fan of Doctor Who, I need to watch everything, right? So I'm glad that I don't have access, and I'm not a fan because the episode that is going to be on, as we were watching the teaser trailer, and we saw that episode where the Beatles were eating that individual on the steps. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's this episode. Like, do you really want to have headphones on and hear those creepy crawly things crawling around you the entire Doctor Who episode?
Yeah, I'd do that. I mean, I'm
No.
not like, if it enhances the experience, it makes it even more creepy. Yeah, I'd be into that.
No, never. Like, I would love to hear from someone who does do this, but I don't think I want to have any part of that.
I mean,
Those
what?
Beatles things.
So, have they said what about it makes it kind of like a 3D audio experience? Because, I mean, a lot of people, if you're just watching an episode of Doctor Who on your computer or on your, tablet, you're using headphones anyways, and you're kind of getting that surround sound experience. So, what are they adding that's making it even more like of a depth type of feel?
Yeah, and maybe I'm totally out of the loop here, but when I watch or what I'm thinking this is akin to is when you play a video game and how you can hear those footsteps progressively getting closer and you can tell which side they're on and it gives you the sense of distance and proximity, and that's what they're looking to recreate. So as they put it, in effect, the 3D sound will trick your ears into thinking that the terrifying creaks and scuttles of Knox Knox monsters are actually happening all around you, with your own home infested just as surely as new companion Bills is in the episode. So just like that sound of just scurrying all around you and having that depth and proximity to where you are, I really don't think I want that. And it sounds like it's going to be not like necessarily a part of the episode, but a layer on top of the episode.
It's making my like neck itch just thinking
I
about
know, right? Like I know. I mentioned this last time, like the mummy with those scarab beetles.
Yeah.
Like I could not sleep for multiple nights afterwards. The last thing I want to do is have like a recreation of that experience, but have the audio like haunting me.
Well, I like you said, we're not going to really have the opportunity to do it anyways, unless there is maybe there is some version that they're going to release as well for the US. We just haven't heard about it yet. Or somebody just, kind of figures out a way to get it, even though they're not supposed to have access to it. So.
I mean, it's cool that they're experimenting with something. Maybe this is just opening the door for more experimentations like this with Doctor Who moving forward.
I mean, they've done 3D, right? We did it. They did a 3D episode, and then they've done all these like movie theater releases and stuff. So they're definitely willing to try new things with Doctor
Just
Who. We're just waiting for that
wait.
musical episode where they do a full on, which would work with certain doctors. I could see completely working.
Yeah, a musical, or how about this VR? They give
VR, yeah.
you strap on your headset, or you put your phone into the cardboard box headset, and you experience it that way.
I could see them, actually, I bet they will do something like that as a short or something.
That I could get behind.
Well, the other thing we want to do in this episode is actually talk about the second episode of the season, Smile. So, you ready to jump into that?
Yeah, let's do it. Emoji robots.
Emoji robots. We didn't have to wait long for this one. Second episode of the season. Let's see here. So this one was written by Frank Cottrell Boyce, directed by Lawrence Goh. And yeah, that's pretty much it, I guess. No Moffat anywhere to be found on this one.
Oh, his hands are there.
His hands are there. Are
always there. His thumbprint.
I beg to differ on this one. I feel like it was very obvious that he wasn't involved in this one. I mean, I know he's involved in every episode, but there was an element missing for me that I felt like the first episode really nailed that this one felt a little empty, and I think it was because Moffat, you know, didn't write it. So I don't know.
Interesting. Are you showing your hand here?
My hand has been tipped. Yes.
It has been tipped.
Yeah. So basically this one, just kind of the quick line here. The Doctor and Bill Potts travel to the future. They come across one of Earth's first colonies, but can they save the colonists from the Vardy?
And am I the only one that every time they said Vardy, I was thinking of Zarby?
Zarby? No. I didn't think about it. So yeah, you might have been the only one.
It was far too close to me, for me. Every time they said that, like, Zarby, it was just buzzing around my brain.
So I have notes, but I didn't put my notes on our document because I didn't want you to see my notes this time.
Yeah, don't spoil me.
I don't want to spoil you, but I do have notes. So I like how the episode started out. I like the, you know, kind of Bill still learning the TARDIS and she's just hanging out with the Doctor and asking him all these questions. I kind of like how she's like, you know, oh, that was a mistake as far as like how the seats are too far back, you know, things that you just never think about, but yeah. You know, very practical, you know, someone that comes in with fresh eyes is just like, why is your seat so far back, or where's the steering wheel? So I like that interaction.
That's, it feels like that's a running commentary at this point where she's, first episode, she pointed out the name and how it's in English, and that makes no sense. And just pointing out various things that I guess we've all just taken for granted, or maybe we haven't taken it for granted. We asked, but then it's similar to him pulling out the cup of tea, right? It's the Doctor. Like, he just does stuff. But yeah, where she immediately is questioning just different aspects that we've just kind of come to accept. Where's your seats? Oh, I stand. And just those things. One thing I have to say about the beginning of this episode, and it seems like it's going to be consistent moving forward, is that I like how there's no gaps, no spaces. Like, the episode picks up exactly where it left off. There's no...
Yes.
Like, we kind of got into that rhythm with the Doctor and Clara, where the Doctor would disappear. And we had no idea how long it'd been since he popped back into Clara's life. And there was just this invisible gap there that we were never given any time frames for, other than in some instances, it seemed like it had been a very long time. But with this, it's just one episode ends with the exact preview of what we're going to see the moment it picks up next episode. I'm loving that.
Yeah, and that kind of ties into what I was going to say that I thought might have been a reference to the First Doctor stuff, but we're not. I'm going to save that still. Even though you kind of referred to it, it's later. It's later in the episode. But, you know, this is only the second episode of the season, so we got that transition without a gap, but we don't know if that's going to be a consistent theme throughout the season. It could just be the first few episodes, but
yeah, true, it could be the first few episodes. It does look like we're gonna get that for Thin Ice, where we've already seen scenes that we had in teasers showing up in this episode when they have nothing to do with this episode,
right? And I have more to say on it, but I will save it for later.
Okay, so you can be that way. That's cool. Keep yourself from me. That's fine.
I'm trying to keep it like in timeline, you know, when it happened in the episode. So I don't want to waste it yet.
I'm gonna be a challenge to you tonight. I'm sorry.
The other thing, the dynamic with the Doctor and Bill, I think it's still working for me. Bill, I like how, well, it was interesting how the Doctor was almost proud of, like, the fact that he's like, yeah, you know, I stole the TARDIS, you know, no big deal. It's almost like he's trying to show off.
Yeah.
And then she's just like, oh yeah, you know, like you can't tell if she's really impressed or if she just kind of like, is this, you know, this guy just trying to like, you know, impress me? I don't know.
It's come up in quite a few different articles that other sites have written, where it really does feel like a perfect time, despite what we know or what we're fairly certain is going to happen at the end of the season. It feels like the perfect time for someone to start watching Doctor Who again, because all of these conversations that happened maybe 4 or 5 years ago, they're finally happening again, where the doctor is explaining essentially his origin story, right? He stole a TARDIS. He's not from Earth. He's from another planet. He's a Time Lord. Like, all these things are getting fleshed out. And I don't know. I love that. I love
It
those.
feels like a reboot. I know we had talked about this before, but it feels much more like Eccleston Rose interaction than any other combination. Like, I know we've gotten kind of this reset, you know, when you get a new companion, a new doctor. I know with Matt Smith and Amy Pond, you got kind of that reset, but I feel like there wasn't as much explanation from Matt, from that doctor to Amy. Not like this. This is like a much more, yeah, you could just jump in and kind of get the backstory of the doctor through these conversations that he's having with Bill, that we haven't seen that kind of interaction since Rose.
And it to me, it's really interesting timing, because we have, again, Moffat is done at the end of the series, and Chibnall picks up and he runs with it. And everybody was saying, oh, when Chibnall jumps in, that's when we get this soft reboot again of Doctor Who. That's when things change. That's when it's a fresh perspective. And now that it's happening here, I'm kind of wondering, like, is this a gift to Chibnall so he doesn't have to handle it and he can just run with the story? Or is this actually bad for Chibnall because
It's too
he's gonna have
soon.
Like, he's going to have to rethink all of these things that so many people who are watching Doctor Who just experienced all of this. Are we going to want to experience it again next series?
Yeah,
I don't know.
that's.
It's either Moffat is cursing Chibnall or he's handing him a gift right now.
Yeah, I think it might be Moffat kind of messing with the system a little bit.
I
Because this
mean,
is what we're seeing now is what Chibnall should be doing.
yeah, I
You
mean,
know,
it.
we should
Totally.
ride out Capaldi and, you know, give him even with a new companion. But the fact that he's treating it almost like a reboot, it is weird timing because we only get one season like this. And then we got to do this all over again.
And so many people have used that exact same word, that this is a reboot of Doctor Who. This is, I mean, that's what we're experiencing right now. And it's like, wait, the showrunner's still the same. Why are we rebooting now
Right, we
instead
should be
of next
rebooting
series?
next series with a new doctor. Yeah,
All
I don't
that's
know.
to,
We don't
all
know. What
that's,
does Moffat have up his sleeve? We don't know.
yeah, and all that to say, like, I'm loving these interactions. Like you mentioned, there's something very, very fresh and very new about Capaldi's doctor and Bill and the interactions that take place. And Bill has this mix of being starry-eyed, but yet, like, she's just so down to earth. There's a part in the episode, and again, I'm taking you off timeline, but where she's just like, "Aw, thanks for bringing me. This was a good day out." And it's just like those moments where it's just like very chill. She's not over the top, but she's just enjoying herself. It's a new experience for her.
So I think this episode solidified the fact that Bill is the companion and Nardole is just kind of that guy that's going to be hanging around. He's not good because I thought it might become one of those things where you have, you know, two companions where they're both with him at all times, but this was very much, you know, he just showed up for a second, went away. It's very much Bill's show, which I actually like. I like that they're not overloading the cast. He came in, he said some funny stuff. It worked. I still like Nardole, but I'm kind of glad that he's not going to be in every single episode.
And I'm personally kind of surprised by that. Like, I was expecting more of him, but as you mentioned, the way that he's being used at least this point in time, where he showed up within the first like 5 minutes of the episode, if that. He said a couple lines, he disappears. But in those moments where he said those couple lines, he set up so much. Like, none of his lines were wasted. He pointed us back to these things from episode one that we could have very easily just forgotten if the Doctor were to just fly off and go on an adventure with Bill. But he anchors us back to these mysteries that I feel like are going to haunt us as we move through each episode.
Yeah, this oath thing, like the Doctor apparently has this oath. Do we know about this? Am I forgetting something?
No, I have no idea.
Okay, because I thought maybe there was something that happened maybe with Clara or something where he took this oath, but he wouldn't have remembered that anyways.
Yeah.
So I guess he's got this oath. He's not supposed to leave Earth.
Earth.
And he's supposed to be guarding this vault, which Rally, that really changes kind of the rules for the Doctor, although he's already breaking them. Where he's kind of, I'll be back before the water even boils. But
which then Bill asks, what happens if you get stuck? And he responds something like, don't dwell on that. That could be trouble.
But there's this mystery that kind of comes up that I guess this is going to be the new, you know, mystery that is going to be a thread throughout the entire season. We probably won't find out until they reveal the First Doctor.
Yeah.
Or the Master, or something big.
Until something comes out of that vault or someone goes into the vault. But it is one of those things where the oath that he mentions he took when something happened and now he's guarding a vault. And it had to happen after the Christmas special, right? Like sometime in there, possibly. I don't know. I'm very curious about what this vault is. Very, very curious.
Yep. No, he's been teaching at that college for a while, that university.
Yeah, 50 years.
So a lot could have happened. All right, so he gives her the option, past or future. Why do they always pick future?
I know, you're not a fan. But she gave her reason, right? She wanted to make sure it was happy.
It was still happy? Well, that was a kind of a setup, I guess, for the whole smile emoji stuff. But
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I feel like if I was traveling with the Doctor, I'd want to go back in time and see if things were actually like I read in the history books. But yeah, I don't know. That's just me, I guess.
And honestly, for me, maybe it's just my personality. I would pretty much guarantee that there's nothing happy in the future. But that just might be my outlook. Like, I don't need to see the future. Like, take me to something in the past that might be enjoyable. I don't want to explore what might be.
At least with the past, you can kind of ease into the whole time travel because it's a known quantity. Like, you have a certain level of expectation. Like, you kind of have a general idea of what people look like, things look like, you know, what the Earth looked like. Nothing's going to shock you.
Right.
But if you say, yeah, take me to the future, I mean, that's a whole other thing. Aliens and spaceships and all that stuff.
And Vardy.
Vardy, yeah. Speaking of the Vardy, this is where the show starts to go downhill for me, when they actually get to this planet.
Within the first 10 minutes, the show goes downhill.
I don't even
know if it's 10 minutes.
I liked all the stuff on the TARDIS. That was cool. But then they got to this planet, and I don't know. It just, so we get the people that are on the planet, and then the stuff that happens where the girl runs up and she's like, smile, 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 smile. I got to tell you something bad, but you got to smile. You know, and then it leads to these like space gnats coming and destroying this person's body.
Oh, come on now. Space gnats? That's the best you got?
Hey, if we have like oil puddle entities and booger monsters, I mean, you got to have some name for it.
Space gnats.
The space gnats. That's what they were.
They're robots.
They look like gnats. You can't fault me for that, right? They look like a swarm of bugs.
They do look like a swarm of bugs.
Which, but they kind of stole the name from Big Hero 6. They're calling them microbots, and I was thinking, man, Disney or Marvel didn't trademark that.
I feel like we're having a very episode-esque conversation. Like you just said, they're disappointing robots, and I'm trying to say that's a very offensive remark.
Yeah, you got offended that I call them gnats.
Don't make personal remarks like that, Aaron. Don't make personal remarks like that.
Maybe flying miniaturized piranha. I mean, they eat everything but your bones. Why would robots eat people's flesh?
They're the Vashtinirata. That's what they are.
Yeah. So yeah, you get this whole dynamic with the, you know, these robots that are these microbots that are killing people, but then you have these other robots that are the emoji robots that we know from the trailer. I had a really hard time with this one, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, I actually had to watch it twice to just even wrap my head around what was going on and what kind of the motivation of just about everybody I saw. Like, what was going on? I'm like, why is this robot working with this robot? And then these people show up, and it was a hard one for me. So I'm gonna rely on you to find the positive in this episode to kind of, you know, explain to me why I shouldn't be hating on this one.
Yeah, and honestly, like, yeah, come on, man. Why do you got to put me here?
Hopeful and sunshine. So the she comes up and she's like, you know, grandma's dead or mom's dead or something. Is it mom? Mom's dead. And then her friend, you know, her friend Hopeful and Sunshine was like, what are the, like, everyone that survived this disaster were all hippies that came to this place?
They're shepherds. That's what shepherds. They are. They're shepherds. They're shepherds of the people, which, I mean, we heard a long time ago of the names of Good Fang and all these other weird names. Well, we've hit the episode where they come up, right? The mystery has been solved. And honestly, none of these individuals that I kind of hypothesize about really turned into anything. Like the guy that was supposed to be in the gunpowder, or who's the voice in the gunpowder plot, he's nothing. He's just a random guy with a gun in this episode.
He's not Guy Fawkes.
Yeah.
You thought Guy Fawkes was coming.
I did. I remember that. I was really, really hopeful. And yeah. No,
well, I guess one of the other actresses was from the Sarah Jane Chronicles.
Yeah.
Right? I think we were going to look at that whole list of 10 things, but that's in there.
Yeah, I read that well. So when you asked me the positive things about this episode, honestly, and one of our listeners, Jason, brought this up, that even in the last episode, the oil puddle, whatever you want to call it, not the best we've ever seen from Doctor Who, but what the strength of the first episode was the relationship, the budding relationship, or the interactions between the Doctor and Bill, and primarily how strong of a character Bill was in the first episode. And this episode, I kind of feel like the same thing, right? Like the villains are doing nothing more than playing a foil for the relationship between the Doctor and Bill, this development of what's happening. And honestly, that's kind of what Moffat even said in a short little intro video to the episode that came out before the episode aired, was like, hey, we're going to focus really on the characters of the Doctor and the Companion, which to me, that would probably be the strongest redeeming quality about this episode, because yeah, the emoji robots were kind of exactly what we thought they were, and not our favorite. And even with the added mystery of what the, not knowing that the Vardy were going to be included in it, they didn't really improve it either. But again, seeing those interactions between the Doctor and Bill, I think to me that is what makes this episode not a egg is a moon, or the moon is an egg episode, but more of an acceptable, it's still really good to see, and Bill and the Doctor have the ability to pull a really sorry story and make it actually watchable and enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I felt like the stuff that you're describing wasn't strong enough to pull this one out for me. I it's definitely not on the level of, you know, the Dragon Egg episode or the, you know, the Sandman episode. It's not that bad, but it's just kind of like, it's another one of those middle of the road, like, okay, you know, somebody wrote kind of a lazy story. Capaldi did his best to pull it out. But there wasn't, even like the dialogue wasn't nearly as good as we got in the first episode. The character moments weren't nearly as good. Just overall, it just was a much weaker episode. It actually got me a little nervous for the season because I was like, wow, it started out so great in that first episode. And then this is the second episode. And I'm hoping that this isn't kind of an indication of other things that are to come. I'm hoping it's the future of this season, I hope, is more like the first episode than the second. The second episode to me was a big downer.
I would say pull the brake on that one. Like, I think it might be, at least for me, it's a little too soon to base the rest of the series on this episode. But then again, I'm also the one that was like, dang, this entire series is going to be incredible based on the first episode. So maybe I should have pulled the e-brake.
It's going to be like any other Doctor Who season. We're going to get the ups. We're going to get the downs. You know, I think there's definitely potential, but for this, maybe because Moffat wasn't, you know, he didn't write this one, and I got spoiled with the first episode because he writes dialogue so well.
Yeah.
And that was just missing in this one. The dialogue wasn't there, and then the story was just really weak. I felt like it just didn't connect. So kind of jumping around now, forget about the timeline, but you know, you get to the scene.
Wibbly-wobbly,
you get to the scene where she finds the old lady, like the old lady's body with the like book iPad.
Yeah, yeah.
That whole stuff, all of that was just completely unnecessary. The audience had already gotten, they have already figured out what happened at that point.
Yeah.
Like us as viewers, we knew what was going on. We knew why these Vardy are killing people because they weren't happy. They had already explained that to us. So to have the doctor come in and kind of go through this whole explanation of this, it was like a virus, and then one person wasn't happy, and then it kind of spread throughout, and it became this, you know, whatever tsunami he called it. This is exposition that we did not need.
You know, yeah.
We're smart enough as viewers that we've already come to that conclusion. We didn't need the doctor to tell us about it. I thought that was a lot of wasted time.
I would take it one step back, and I would say where Bill initially finds that book/iPad, and she's like her optimism is shattered at that point. As she's like, oh, were these the last people? And oh my goodness, like the earth has fallen apart. And that, I think, was like, come on, Bill. Like, seriously, you thought things were just happy forever and the world got better. And like that to me was like, okay, we didn't need that. But the doctor giving his explanation, although we had already figured out that people weren't happy and so that they died, but I personally kind of liked how he just described this rolling grief. And like, I think the one thing that detracts from that is that we never got a real sense for how many people were actually there. All we saw were two people and possibly thought there were three, but supposedly there were a lot more people there. And so I think if we had that context, that massive rolling grief and massacre that took place, I think it might have, his explanation might have had a little bit more weight behind it. But it seemed rather sterile considering we didn't see as many people as what he thought there were. But yeah, I mean, I could see it. I feel like moments like that where the doctor monologues, Capaldi just does such a great job with it. I'll take any monologue Capaldi wants to give, no matter what he's giving it on. He could tell me about fish fingers and custard in a monologue, and I'd be pretty darn pleased.
Speaking of fish fingers, I did like a couple of the kind of throwaway lines that were sly references where he actually says to Bill at one point, come along, then come along, pond.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool. And then he says, I'm not fond of fish. I'm not that fond of fish. Well, we knew Eleven, you know, loved his fish fingers and custard. Yeah. So I thought that was funny too.
Yeah. See, there's moments like that I'm just, I don't know. I'm loving about these episodes so far. Even when he says that what was that conversation where he says that he has this childish urge to blow something up? Like, I don't know, those moments I love when the doctor is just like, I'm just going to do this, and this is what I'm going to do. Or when he tells Bill not to check his browsing history, like just random things like that.
I feel like the browsing history joke has been done on the show a few times. 11th hour.
The 11th hour?
Yeah. That's, where the one guy, he's like, and erase your browser history or something.
Yeah.
Which that guy, I just recently watched 11th hour, and whoever that character was supposed to be who knew Amy and all that, why did he never show back up? He seemed so important to that episode. He, like, saved the world. And then he just never showed up again. I wonder if that actor just, they couldn't get him to come back and do something.
I wonder what else he did, though. Like, I wonder if we could find him in some other show at some point.
We should look it up and figure out why he didn't come back. Maybe he got some, you know, good role on another show.
We now have plans for the off season.
They were setting him up
every episode.
They were setting him up to be a big character, it seemed like, and then he just never came back. Rory took his place, maybe.
Hey, maybe. Maybe Rory was supposed to be dropped. Rory was supposed to go the way of Danny Pink.
But, yeah, so I guess, like, for this one, I had almost wished that... So they introduced the idea that these colonists were in these pods. Which is another thing we've seen in Doctor Who previously. This isn't the first time we've gotten kind of this idea of the space travel and people in these pods. But I almost wish they had introduced that a little earlier in the episode and had less of the Doctor kind of, you know, walking around these places and hemming and hawing about, like, trying to figure out what's going on. And then, like, literally in the last 5 minutes, the people show up. And if they had kind of maybe brought those characters in a little earlier... had a little bit more interaction and dialogue with them, it could have maybe made it a little bit more interesting. But I don't know. It just, everything seemed really disconnected and rushed. And by the time they got to the end where he was just like, I discovered a new species and you guys need to respect them and, you know, let me make a treaty with them for you. It just, it was all like happening so fast. I'm like, what is happening right now? What just happened?
Okay, so I can... Yeah, I mean, I agree. Like... To me, it was rushed. People show up in the last 5 minutes. There's all these pods, and we get, like, what, five? And so, like, there's some scale things that in my mind kind of took me out of the episode when it's like, you have all these pods, and honestly, there's only five people awake right now. And those are the people that are going to fight to save civilization, five people. At that point, I had woken up everybody in the pod so that we could have actually done something legit. So there's like these little moments that I do think detract from the episode overall, but I don't know.
So you liked this episode?
I liked Doctor Who.
That's such a political answer.
Like, that makes me sound like such a fanboy right now where it's like, ooh, Doctor Who, I like it. But to me, it wasn't like this catastrophe of an episode. It didn't live up to the standard that the first episode set at all. Like, that bar was so high going into this episode that I think it was somewhat unrealistic of me to think that it would even get close to that. But that said, considering that we were dealing with emoji robots, it wasn't a flaming wreck that I expected it could turn into. Like, it was a passable episode to me. It wasn't a flaming wreck like the emoji robots could have made it.
Yeah, or they just don't do emoji robots, then you don't even have to be faced with that problem.
Overall, the concept of like emoji is the main thing that survived throughout the years, like, honestly, we're kind of getting there.
It's kind of a funny concept. I got what they were doing with that. There were a lot of technological, not, that's probably not even the right word, but kind of modern sensibilities that we have in the youth today, where, you know, you see Bill, like, you know, pull her cell phone out and start taking pictures of stuff. You know, you don't typically, we've never seen companions do that before. You know, she's, you know, just the picture, kind of the promo picture for it, it's her doing a selfie with the doctor. Yep. A couple of the references she makes to modern technology, text, like, we should have texted them and told them we were coming, you know, stuff like that. It was a little much. It was almost a little heavy handed. I guess they're trying to sell her as like this modern youth that's kind of hip and knows all the terminology and stuff, and that's kind of her role. But it was a little much.
Yeah, I definitely feel like they're trying to, as much as possible, root her in today's culture. When it comes to who she is a product of today. And yeah, I think they're going to the far end when it comes to making sure that, at least at this point, everybody realizes that. Which maybe future episodes it will fit a little bit better, but with this one, yeah, you could see them pulling a little bit hard to make things like that work.
Yeah. I mean, we're back to our normal roles, Adam. You're the apologetic fanboy and I'm the cynic. Like this is what
this is what our podcast is,
what
right?
the listeners expect. We're just playing our roles. I'm hoping this will just maybe it's just but I'm recovering from a cold. I'm a kind of a negative attitude right now, so it could just be part of that too. But
I just keep coming back to imagine what it could have been.
I don't like to set the bar that low, just because you see something like Emoji Robots and you're like, oh, this episode's gonna suck. So because it didn't suck, then I'm happy with it.
Yeah,
I'm
but
not there.
we've had some episodes where we're like, oh, this is going to be really good, and then it just utterly collapses. That's this one. I still like the interactions between Bill and the doctor. Bill, yeah, I don't
It
know.
had its moments. Like I said, it just fell flat for me, but I'm not saying it's a bad episode. It just fell flat for me. And then kind of the resolution to everything that was going on at the end where he like hits the reset button. That I don't like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I
I mean,
hate
at
the kind
least
of
he didn't.
simple, like we got ourselves into this mess. There's no way we're getting out. Okay, let's just hit reset.
At least he didn't say think happy
Think
thoughts.
happy thoughts. Yeah, it's almost as bad. I don't
Am I
know.
the only one that's slightly disappointed that he hasn't made a big deal out of his Sonic yet? Like, we've had two full episodes where there's no mention of it whatsoever. He kind of just like does things, and Bill hasn't even asked about it.
That's true. Yeah. Sonic has been kind of a non thing. Although I guess what he did at this one where he was able to tap into just one of the emoji robots and use that to reset the entire planet. That's pretty impressive power from the Sonic.
Yeah,
So,
like Bill has to ask at some point
like, what
what
did
it
you
is,
do?
right? Like at some point, that it's one of those big questions that she's gonna have to ask. We've got the TARDIS out of the way. It's time to move on to some other things. And maybe Moffat's afraid to make a big deal out of it since he did the sunglasses last series.
Maybe.
Maybe he's just gonna let this one ride.
So, anything else in this episode that you wanted to praise?
Let's see here.
Since I've been so harsh on it.
Are we getting back to the point where I go through and like I point out all the things that that we haven't talked about yet? We did that for a while.
Well, we have the 10. So, there's the articles that BBC's been doing where they kind of say 10 things you might not have noticed or something like that. Do we want to run through those? I still want to mention my thing, but I can save it.
Yeah, so let me just run through real quick. Let's see here. The TARDIS has broadband. That's intriguing. I would have thought it might have something a little bit better than broadband, but we'll go with broadband.
I did not
The
pick up on that. They
no,
said that?
he said it has broadband. Go stream something. Watch
Oh.
movies or something like that. Again, probably just one of those things making her a product of her culture, right? Netflix, stream something.
Yep.
Yeah. What's up with the whole being able to hear people in your heads and your ears receiving an upgrade?
Yeah,
That
that
was
seemed
to
kind of
me.
random.
Yeah. And like it didn't really come into play all that much. Just at really strange moments. So I really liked the ending of it where they jump in the TARDIS. He is going back to the exact moment where they left the kettle boiling. And they're not there. They're somewhere totally different. Well, they're in London, just a different time frame.
So this is where I want to bring up the thing.
Okay, cool.
So if you remember from when we, because we went through a lot of the Hartnell stuff, a lot of the first series and beyond of Doctor Who, one of the key elements that they always had in those episodes that you don't see in the modern series is how when a storyline would end, there would always be something that would happen at the end of the episode that would lead into the next big storyline.
Yeah.
So they would land on a planet, they open up the doors of the TARDIS, and then there's like cavemen there. But it's at the end of the series that you've just been watching about the Aztecs, and then next thing you know, like at the very final episode, it's leading into the next story. And you don't see that in the modern series. But in this, you get this, they land, they're like, oh wait, we're in London, it's snowing, and there's an elephant. And then it just ends.
Yeah.
And so to me, that is like a direct reference to the way that classic Who, especially the Hartnell stuff, used to be. And it can't be an unintentional reference.
Yeah.
They're trying to give us that flavor of Hartnell. They're trying to give us that, like, hey, your story ended, but the next one is beginning.
I'm right there with you. Like, yeah, it does harken back to the episodes that we watch of Classic Who, where it led directly into the next story. I also like how it is kind of going back to the Doctor, and he mentioned this very early on the episode, like, how do you do this? And basically he never learned how to fly the TARDIS. And we're kind of getting back to that, at least in this episode, where he fully intended on going back to the time that he was supposed to, and it didn't happen. I feel like over the past couple of series, we've kind of gotten away from that, where he could just fly the TARDIS wherever he wanted to, go to whatever time he wanted to go to, and like never had any issues. But now we're at that point where he has a desire to go somewhere, he tries to go there, and we end up somewhere totally different.
He said in the episode something like, she takes you to what is like halfway between where you want to go and where you need to be, something like that. So I thought that was a pretty, pretty cool line and a good description of how the TARDIS travels. Now, the Doctor has in many times throughout the series been able to pinpoint, you know, especially in like in the moments where he needs to, where he literally can like materialize the TARDIS around, you know, River, like right at the right moment so he can pick her up or save her life. That's happened a lot.
Yeah.
So he can pinpoint and travel to spaces and time that he wants to when needed. But yeah, sometimes it does seem like he just ends up completely where he doesn't want to be.
Yeah.
And like in London with an elephant.
Yeah, on the Thames.
Yeah.
What he says is the still point between where you want to go and where you need to be. That's where she takes you.
Okay. I don't know. I'm assuming that what we saw there with the elephant is going to lead right into the next story. I hope that's the case. Otherwise, it's going to completely blow away my my theory there.
No, that is the next episode. It is smack dab right there with the elephant.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, so there is this article here about the 10 things you may not know about Smile.
Yeah, BBC America does a 10 things you may not know at the end of every episode.
Okay, cool. So we should maybe start at least referencing the cooler facts from here. I just kind of scrolling through it. The spaceship is named after a newly discovered country in the satirical 1872 Samuel Butler novel, Erewhon. That is like a really deep reference there. Like people that picked up on that, they're like super nerdy. I would have never known.
So here's one. The Vardy were named after the Canadian scientist Andrew Vardy, who works with Swarm Robotics. There you go. Not Zarby at all.
Not Zarby. Vardy.
Yep.
And his microbots.
Yep.
Yeah, so what else? So Sarah, we had talked about the actress from the Sarah Jane Adventures. I think I said Sarah Jane Chronicles earlier. Whoops. Mina Anwar, who I think it, when we were kind of doing our speculation, we saw the name and we're like, oh yeah, this might be a big character. It turned out she really wasn't.
Yeah.
Same with the Guy Fawkes, you know, didn't really turn out to be anything.
So disappointing. So disappointing.
Anything else?
David Bowie reference. In the section where the doctor goes back to the colony with the intention of blowing it up, cornered by the emoji bot, he repeatedly says, "I'm happy," before saying, "I'm happy. I hope that you're happy too." A slight paraphrase of a line from the song Ashes to Ashes. So, David Bowie, spaceman in Doctor Who.
I like the reference to Aberdeen or Wiltshire, which I did in our intro as well. But yeah, so apparently those are actually places the Doctor has previously been. And specifically, when he left Sarah Jane Smith, he was supposed to take her to a certain place, but he accidentally took her to Aberdeen, which I thought was interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, and then was there anything else? That's pretty much the notable things.
Yeah.
Everything else is just like, eh. So, you liked the episode more than you should have.
And you liked the episode far less than what you should have.
Okay. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. I was trying to think
of the Hobbit quote, but I couldn't. The Lord of the Rings quote.
Oh, yeah.
Fellowship. It's my 111th birthday. I like half of you half as much as I should, and I know half as much as I should about half of you.
That's like so that. Not the right quote.
I know, not at all. I was trying to throw as many halves in there to throw people off. Didn't work.
So, yeah. I think we covered it all, man. I don't think there's really much more to say.
Yeah. Nope. That's. I mean, we did get a few comments from a few people on Facebook page, one who sounds like they are more in the boat with you in regards to the quality of the episode, with it being a horrible episode and the acting wasn't all that good, which I mean honestly there were instances with the whole exchange between the two individuals where she's like, "Smile, I'm gonna tell you mom died. Smile, smile, smile." That was a little bit stiff.
Yeah.
So definitely not the best acting. And I could totally see how maybe some other exchanges fell flat.
Yeah, I think pretty much every character that showed up that wasn't Bill or the Doctor, the acting was a bit subpar.
Yeah, the little boy, that was a little rough too, where he's like, "I want my mommy."
Well, because he was like 12. 15. I'm like, why are you acting like you're 5?
Yeah, you
know, my 5-year-old son is braver than that kid would have been. Like, what? Our kids just like in the future very immature, more needy. Yeah, that seemed like a below. They should have cast a younger actor for that if they were going to have him act that way.
Who they should have gotten was that kid from last series who ends up transitioning to be Davros. Like, oh, yeah. That kid was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good actor.
They should have just had him. cool. So that was one comment that we had. The other one from Jason. I know it's early in the season, but this year the story writing seems simpler and more contained, therefore creating a higher quality average than what we got last season. The mention of the average, right? Doctor Who is the series. They're just averages. You'll get some highs, some lows. It all averages out in the end. Do you agree, or am I wishfully thinking because I don't want Peter to go?
I think he's wishfully thinking right now. Because he said that after the second episode, right?
He did. He said that in response to the second episode.
Yeah. I think right now there's been one really good episode and one poor episode. So they're 50-50 right now. I want a better than 50-50 for the final season of Capaldi. I need like a 70-30.
I'm curious what 70-30. Nice. Is that what the percentages are that you consider a successful season?
If 70% of the episodes are good episodes, that's a really good season of Doctor Who.
Really good or good?
Really good. Because we've gone through this. We've found that we've had most of the seasons of Doctor Who in the modern series, we were like about 50-50.
Yeah.
So 70-30 would be solid.
It would be. I think this question right here, I'm wanting to know what he means by more contained, like that each story in and of itself is a story in and of itself, because I feel like we might have more threads tying the stories together than what we've had in maybe the past two previous seasons. I could be wrong. I don't feel like there's always a thread,
you know, because
it's not always a thread.
I thought like Lady Me was kind of that thread that tied that, you know, the last series together.
Three episodes. I think she showed up in three episodes, right?
Right, but there were multiple references.
Oh, the hybrid. Her. You're right.
Yeah, the hybrid, and then you get kind of her appearance at the end that was so pivotal. So although she didn't necessarily appear in every episode, there was that thread of mystery that I think the vault is going to be for this season.
I totally forgot about the hybrid. Yeah.
So.
Huh. It's amazing how just some distance makes things feel new. Moffat is brilliant, right? He purposely made us wait longer for the season so that he could do a soft reboot or make it look like a soft reboot when really he's just serving us the exact same things that we've always had. And I'm just too fanboy to see it.
Well, at least you're admitting it.
Darn you, Aaron. This was a good episode.
It was good as a stretch. It was an episode.
It was a Doctor Who episode.
All right, well, I think we're good to wrap this episode up.
Sounds good.
All right.
Let's do it.
We've rambled on long enough.
We have.
To wrap it up, you can find us on iTunes, leave us a review if you haven't done that yet. If you listen to our show and you enjoy it, we'd love for you to head over to iTunes, leave us a nice 5-star review. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook Bad Wolf Radio, and you can also send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com. And we have been putting a little bit more time and effort into the social media side of things. So if you haven't checked us out in a while, we started like an Instagram.
Yeah, we have an Instagram account.
Instagram now? Okay.
Yeah,
so that,
I even did a story tonight.
Really?
And by a story, I mean one picture. But
I should follow our Instagram account.
Nice.
But yeah, so we have, you know, the Instagram account and all this stuff going on. Adam's been putting a lot of effort into the social media lately. So hopefully you guys can check those things out. And as usual, you can find us on the Pod Tyrant Network over at Tyrant. So until next time.
Later days.